Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Spire, and first received by Mahalene Louie, Aquarius.
You are now in the host queue.
It is based on sacred geometry. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough.
Unmuted.
Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. I'm just going to immediately open up the line to our family members. I know we have a few folks with us, and hear how you're doing today and what may have touched you in the introductory readings. Who'd like to go first?
Michael, this is Emilio.
This is Brandy.
Marina, go ahead. I yield. Thank you.
No, this is Brandy. I just wanted to check and see I'm here, and I'm glad to be on the call.
Thanks, Marina. Good to be with you. Go ahead, Emo.
I am Emilio, the one they call Emilio. I'm calling from Laurel, Maryland, and what touches me about the process and what you read is engaging in unlearning, just engaging in unlearning. And it's such a conditioned process to unlearn something seems like an oxymoron, and yet that's the dilemma. So that's what touches me today. I'm feeling pretty engaged. I'm feeling friendly. It's just it's really interesting to be out on a walk and be friendly with the leaves and the gnats flying and the bugs and the people walking by and the dogs. And so I'm feeling friendly.
Welcome, friendly Emilio, and glad, Verena. How are you doing, Maha?
Oh, I'm good. I'm feeling deliberate this morning. And the word that touches me, connected with feeling deliberate, is increasingly, we increasingly benefit. And on that, I'm referring to having the same, doing the same thing, expecting different results, and yet seeing an increase in consciousness in a painful repeated pattern. So I'm resonating with the increase, and I'm being deliberate in moving and orienting towards the sense of enough.
Thank you for that, Maha. And yeah, for me, out of the reading, I hinted towards it when I commented earlier, the idea of the paradise circle, and the idea of a circle and its inclusive nature is what I'm resonating with. There's space for all of us wherever we are, and whoever you may be listening, whenever you may be listening, welcome and thank you for being here, and know that the circle includes you, whether you're conscious of it or not. Everyone is welcome, and may this circle be expanded through the love that we are today and as we bring that into our everyday life, because that's, you know, to have a circle that encompasses everything and to feel that is really what we're about. And that's the inspiration, and the sponsorship by Empowering Now really speaks to that. If we could all know how to empower the now, then the vision of forgiveness would be achieved. The idea that there are no accidents in this universe. It's impossible. The circle encompasses every single thing. And so that connects to the idea of the agreements that really inspire the words of our community. The ebook on page 5 has just undergone a transformation. And the invitation for our alignment really are about knowing that when we do shadow work, the idea to come to understand our shadow, as Maha was alluding to where I can understand a painful pattern with such a degree of brilliance that I have the power to choose peace in the midst of it and to drop whatever degree of shame, blame, fear, anger, etc. may keep me connected to those patterns. So our work in the Paradise Circle is to really anchor and begin anchoring agreements. And what is it about shadow work, the unlearning that Amelia hinted towards? Well, on page 5, we look at shadow play and shadow work. You know, when we're doing shadow work, there is a potential misuse or a risk of misusing power, and therefore to waste time and not empower the now. And where that risk is present, we invite an alignment on the essence of peace and trust. The peace really comes out of the simplicity of knowing that in reality, there's only really a couple of ways that I can be peaceful and sustain that. One is through inquiring, who is the I, and the other is through surrender, which is the result of an inquiry. And as Paradise Circlers, we're being introduced to a tool. And as that tool is understood, we can understand our shadow. But the point here is to align that we're here in a spirit of peace and that there is a inquiry that we can begin to increasingly trust. And that's what we'll talk a little bit today, is how we come to discover that trust through sacred geometry and how communication itself has a very deep connection to sacred geometry. The second alignment, and if you guys would say amen or yay, if you would agree to this first alignment on page 5.
Yay.
Kimaha. The second invitation for our circle agreements is that when we realize that we've made an assumption, we decide to clear the space. Instead of living with whatever judgment may be there, can I get an amen to number 2?
Yay. Amen.
Where I default to going into being comfortable and hiding out in the shadow, I look forward to discomfort. I actually welcome it. Anybody amen this one for us?
Amen.
Amen, brother.
Brother.
Number 4, where I go into a void dance. In other words, I don't want to see it. I want to dance around the void. I do my utmost to stay in my presence. Anyone amen this for us?
Amen.
Amen.
Still just so friendly.
And where I fear to open my shame closet, I remember that this work is confidential. There's nobody forcing me to share. And concerned about that, I can just stay confidential.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Emo Emilio. And finally, where the pearl of consciousness hides in selfishness, way down deep in the shadows, in the shell, I go diving for it. Can I get an amen to number 6?
Amen.
Thank you. So these agreements are designed to help remind us what we're up to. We're here to be the light by understanding the shadow. And that really is the introduction that we summarize on page 10. Where we look at communication being the result. You know, our introduction page looked at that idea. I might say I want to have a new job or I want to lose weight or I want to have a relationship. And I notice that when I say that I don't have that in reality. What we're inquiring upon is a way to increasingly become primary. That is to say what I mean and mean what I say. And within that is the power to transform. Now, if I don't feel that I'm actually not aligned, I will resist. Therefore, the idea is for us to begin, and it is a beginning, to connect to how much resistance we've been indoctrinated to not. And that really is what leads us into awakening and peace, and these two tools that we summarized a moment ago, where we can inquire upon, who is the I that's resisting? And then out of that, be given the pleasure truly to surrender to what is. And how do we do so if we can't sustain the power to do those two simple things? Well, that's what we're introducing which is an inquiry that I can trust. If it doesn't just work for you to do that level of, you know, who is the I, and to be recognizing that the ego is what is sourcing my suffering, then we're introducing a way to really inquire on the Genesis pattern, the 6 days of communication. And those ideas help us to decode the most potent concepts that relate to awakening in a way that when I do that inquiry, I can increasingly realize that my word is the world, and that there may just be a way to inquire that sustains a greater degree of power and therefore experience my own tree of life, then I'm decoding what it means to be separate from reality. So I'm going to pause and hear your guys' feedback of our summary of page 10. Anything you wanted to add or change, amend to that?
I think it's not a change or amend for me as much as it's a confirmation of the first way you began, feeling and transformation. And that little part in red there that says, what is the belief that has me resisting feeling and by extension forgiving? And I was so indoctrinated with, you know, a belief is a thought that I keep on thinking. So if you really want to change, then just change the thought. And then that was really phony, because just changing, just thinking I can without inquiring into the pathology or all the other mixture of what has me holding that belief so entrenched and what I'm getting out of that particular belief and how it supports me, I can never do that. And so I just find it really very nice that it's not starting at the thought. It's looking at the belief and feeling into that belief and what has me resist feeling around that. And I think we talked before, that's where I lost paradise, when I lost my ability to feel. So let me go back and be with that belief and really feel what's attached to that, because that's what sets off the whole process. And then so that's what really touches me here, because that's what brings me into the awakening and peace to know that there's possibility and then that there's a process that I can trust so I can experience something very different. But it starts with me really accepting and feeling that BS or that belief system that started in the beginning.
Amen. Thanks, Emilio.
So I'm feeling a need to actually read what you referred to so that I would understand it better. That would just help me. Would that be okay with you guys?
Sure.
Absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So the third bullet point, which you referred to, says, an inquiry I can trust. So expires inquiry, is radical as it uses sacred geometry. The Genesis pattern reveals that the word and thus the world is created in 6 days. The sixth stage is climax and the consciousness of Shabbat as the seventh day of rest. So that's a reading that is interesting to me. It leads into the question, where are the instances when I am not resting in the zone and blocking my creativity? And there are a few. Now, all those bullet points refer to pages that we had seen in our introduction some time back. So if you'd like more information, if I'd like more information on an inquiry I can trust, I can go to page 7. And as for the experience, we also experience it, and there will be time that we are going to go back to this page. But what interests me in that experience is that the Tree of Life holds the wisdom of the Bible. It guides me out of the lower words, which are termed Egypt. into pure awareness, which symbolically is called the Promised Land. Yet I must eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil and die to who I think I am. And that ties directly to the question, what may be a repeated experience in my life that causes me pain, and that I'm just ready to die to the Savior. I have this mistaken idea that I can teach you, save you, heal you, inspire you, and that's the same. That's my insanity. So that's what I need to die to, is the Savior. So that would be just, you know, it grounds it for me so that we can go into the next exploration of today and have that in the background as per your guidance, Michael.
Thank you, Maha. Thank you, thank you. Yeah, and it's, you know, the idea of an inquiry I can trust is really deeply connected to what we looked at on Thursday with Emilio's show. We were talking about the color code and how the elements from the three primary global cosmologies to date, the cosmology of the West with four elements of air and water and earth and fire, and going to the east and looking at what the Tao brings in the area of wood as an element. And instead of calling air, it calls it metal. And then going to the Hindus, where instead of a wood, they've got the classical four elements plus ether. And as we begin to look at the color code and how those connect to the elements, we talked a little bit about that, and we also looked at the humors, which are the constituents of health that were introduced 600 BC, and how to remember the color code of this ignorance that I'm in when I don't remember that I'm primary in love, and I find myself wanting to understand whatever the pattern is, if I'm in a savior mode or whatever and using Maha's example is a good one. If I think that I need to save you, then I'm mistaken. I forget who I am. That's an example of how we can compassionately understand our ignorance, whereas the knowledge connects to the flip side. So we had a nice meeting on that topic on page 12, and we're now moving into page 13. So anything else that Verena or Amelia or Maha that y'all want to comment on page 12 before we move to 13?
Maybe the part that from the six elements of the global cosmology was extrapolated to the six elements of knowledge, so that the voice really lives in ether, the mind in air and metal, the soul in water, and that contributes to trusting this inquiry and having clear definition for something that in most teaching at this time is dubious. It's like, what is it that we call the heart? What is it that we call the body or the soul? When we base that on elemental, it becomes clearer. It becomes something I can trust.
Yeah, and it connects to the comments that I remembered making when we started the show last week, Emilio, when you were introducing the work, and I said, you know, there's something about recognizing the colors of these archetypes, and through the writing itself, the path of expire, where I can, recognize, that's the red of my prostitute, not the red of my heart. The red of my split mind instead of the red of my heart, the fiery heart. So there is a deep connection that we're introducing here, and the invitation is to begin to open to that. So let's look at whether or not this technology is for you. So that brings us to page 13. Would someone be interested in answering the first question at the top of this page? What part of your life or what part of life would you like to change?
I would like to change my belief that work is hard. Finding work is hard.
All right. So I would like to change the belief and the experience. I would imagine that finding work is hard. So let's just go straight to the second question here, Verena. How would a global cosmology assist your transformation?
Well, it's like a little bit like what we did the other day with the Olive Card, is looking at it differently. If I was really inside a global cosmology to really see the grander scheme, I would not have the perception that work is hard. It would be work would be play, play would be work, and then it would flow.
Yeah, this question is a humdinger, because immediately what I found as well, I closed my eyes and felt into your speaking and to your comment, and immediately what I felt in what you shared, Verena, was an expansion. It's not me versus the world. Whatever it is that I'm going through in this career phenomena, there's two that appears to be personal, but in fact connects to maybe a larger scheme. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which really is the statement here that comes from the Hermetic teachings: as above, so below; as within, so without. There's something within what I heard you saying, Verena, where you're connecting to that. So thank you for your bigness. And you're willing to be global. That's sweet. Do you want to just take us through the first sentences until you're called?
Would love to.
Yeah.
Understanding the cosmos above as a way to feel into the psyche below may seem a bit far-fetched. It is, however, our hypothesis that one galactic language existed before the beginning of time, to trace a path to the emergence of an aware society. When fluent in it, I know my own purpose and act in alignment with it and with all. I know what to do and actually do it.
Oh.
All right. Yeah. It is a meta language that, like the DNA, belongs to the earth and sources all codes. Hearing it resolves the problem of the collective, which is essentially a religious problem, in that religion fails at integrating belief systems. True devotion continues to be lost in translation. I'll repeat that last one. Hearing it resolves the problem of the collective, which is essentially a religious problem, in that religion fails at integrating belief systems, thus true devotion continues to be lost in translation. So what I'm hearing is when we can go beyond even the need to translate, because we tap into that galactic language, which we're referring to here, you know, it bypasses the whole, you know, Babel syndrome, where no one can connect because we're all thinking we don't understand one another.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the very first sentence that you read. I'm just pondering it because it connects to what I'm hearing. The Babel phenomena clearly is a result of a confusion of language. But let's look at the first sentence. Understanding the cosmos above, because we just looked at as above, so below, and you know, that when I can connect to an idea of a global cosmology, it helps it to become less personal. And what we're saying in this sentence is that there is a way to understand the cosmos above, to feel into the psyche below.
Yeah. You know, I was connecting this past days on the indoctrination of scarcity. And it is an indoctrination. It seems that a lot of us are trained to think small and limited, and there's a reason for that. You know, if everybody started thinking big and following their own guidance, then there might be a little less slavery in the world. And so it's like, speaking of the savior, which is the slave, my slave is indoctrinated to think in terms of scarcity. There's not enough jobs, there's not even enough money, there's not enough participants to this offering, there's not enough. And to continue thinking in terms of scarcity, I absolutely must never go out at night, never look into the sky, never look into the thousands and thousands and millions of stars in the sky, never look at nature, never pay attention to the trees and the way they branch off, never pay attention to the flowers in the field. I really must completely separate myself from the cosmos. And then, only then, will I be able to pray to the God of scarcity and pay my tribute to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
You know, there's no understanding when I do that level of separation, right? It's like there's no cosmos above.
Mm-mm.
And when I look at the idea of scarcity with full-on light, literally bring the light into that creation, I can begin to feel into the psyche that attaches to resistance, right? But yet that is a bit far-fetched because the illusion feels so real when it's right in front of us, right? And it's something that we, whatever the pattern may be, right? So that is very connected.
And how does that touch
so how does
you?
That...
Sorry, Michael.
Yeah. No.
Well, it really is profound. I heard you say that I must completely separate myself from the idea of being a part of something global, of separate myself from the cosmos.
And even more than an idea, the reality of it, experience of it.
Yeah, because as above, yeah. So below. So there is an above that infers that below there is a global above which really wants to be separate until the understanding of that shadow quality becomes clear enough for me to choose peace, for example, or to So that's really where we come to the hypothesis, the second thing I heard you read, Verena, that our hypothesis, which this is a bit far-fetched, but the hypothesis that may seem far-fetched is that there was a galactic language before the beginning, and these are my words, they're not written on the page, but before the beginning of unconscious time. Because when I'm empowering the now, there is no time. There's only now, and I empower it. So before time begins, there is a language that is helping to understand how I generate unconscious time, which is what we've been looking at. That's an interesting hypothesis.
Big moon.
I mean, the point that we're looking at is that there's a language solution that helps me to understand how I generate unconscious time. How does that touch you, Emilio?
I then want to know that language. I want to know because it's the only way that I'm going to shift from that to be in the present. I'm finding the whole conversation very touching because I'm so conditioned to compare, to contrast, to be into scarcity, to be into lack by looking at what's outside. And so when I begin to do that, I'm caught in that dream, so to speak. So I think that's what I what touched me this morning, and a part of what Maha was saying was just, I met someone down the street the other day who recommended, go to the nature center over at the wildlife refuge, and it was just awesome to be connected, but to walk through there having a sense that I'm connected, I'm part of it, as opposed to being separate. And the other thought I wanted to say too was, Verena, thank you for offering an example of something that you were going through. And I was thinking to myself of something that I'm experiencing. And I think other people, so while you're doing the work, we're all thinking about our own example of how that fits with us as well. So just to add that.
Thank you.
Yeah. And as, you know, we look at language, we've been looking at the hypothesis that we can understand the language. Emilio says, yeah, help me to learn that language. I've never really learned Spanish. I've been studying Hebrew for a number of years. And, you know, the next sentence you read, Verena, says, when I'm fluent in a language, I'm considering what it takes to learn a language. You know, I have to first decide I want to know the language, and then I begin to gather my resources, and then I study it, and then I practice it. And that's really what the Paradise Circle and what we're doing is. We're introducing a language, we're giving some of the fundamentals, and we're practicing it.
Well, Michael, it's interesting you say about learning a language. I'm just thinking about, you know, when I was learning a German language, it was 100% immersion, you know, throw me into the work and then go to night school to learn what I didn't know during the day, because it was all by context. I learned the best, not just plodding through and going through language books. So I see this Paradise Circle as an opportunity. You know, we're giving a context, and then the language starts coming through the colors and the sounds and the characters to help give it form, and for me that really worked really well.
Yeah, especially when it's the language that wrote the cosmos itself, and it's not so much about learning Spanish or Hebrew or English, for example, but as you said, a meta language that belongs to and sources all codes.
So
that's a really big hypothesis.
I'm feeling the need to ground those glorious ideas and inspiring concepts into practicality. Like, what the heck are we talking about here? And, you know, it's like there's another part of this that jumps at me, which says, in that religion fails at integrating belief systems, true devotion continues to be lost in translation. So what does that mean? And to me, it's like, you know, my God is the right God. And if you don't follow that way, you're gonna go to hell. Or, you know, that to just speak of oneness while not recognizing how much I am one with everything is so absurd. And speaking of devotion continues to be lost in translation, who would I be when, would there be a difference in looking for a job 2 hours a day with complete soul and heart and being completely devoted and listening and being present versus looking for a job with sort of like this inner resistance and this projection that it's not going to work and they don't want me and I'm going to be all alone and I'm not going to have the money to pay my bills. There's no devotion in that. There's no heart in that. So what is this language? What, again, the heck are we talking about where all religions in the world could agree to, yeah, I can see that, I can go for that, and yeah, if there is a way to where I can be with oneness at all time, then that would have been the practicality of looking for a job or whatever, not being a savior in my own search. So below there's a code here, you know. There is an elephant here on our page, and it says above and below. So, V, would you be willing to play with me at that, decoding the code?
Yep, yes.
So, and we're going to toggle back and forth with the page before. So for the moment, look at the order of above. Do you see that it moves from left to right sequentially? Like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go to the page before for just one moment. And
okay.
See that ignorance, let's accept that it would move sequentially from left to right. And so first I lose my voice. And so that means that when I speak, I'm not heard. I may be saying words, but those words go right above the head of the people that I'm speaking them to, which implies that my voice is not grounded. It is a screech. Can you just go there with me?
Yes.
So I'm looking for a job. I have an interview, but I'm so filled with fears that I can't speak of how it would be an asset to the company. Just doesn't happen.
Right.
So then I move. I'm going to go to the next stage in evolution. And my mind is going to be split. And so now I'm going to try to please the other because I'm no longer with me. I'm out there trying to please you or influence you. But
right,
I've left home.
Yeah.
So now that's going to create some results at the level of my feeling, and I'm going to be feeling lost. Okay. And then from feeling lost, my body is just like, you know, the same pain story. I'm all alone. This is not working. I'm not going to get the job. It hurts, etc. And now I'm going to manifest that pain at the physical level. And having manifested that pain, my heart is going to be broken. Okay? And it's going to be all your fault. That interviewer was unfair. It didn't even give me, it didn't even look at me. It's all your fault. And now, instead of being the interviewer fault, it's going to be God's fault. I'm forsaken. You know. Where were you, God? And so, first of all, does this progression, is there any yes but? Is there any part to where this does not feel grounded for you?
No, it totally makes sense.
Okay. So you get the progression on how worse and worse it gets, from the switch to the split mind to the left soul to the main body, and each time increasing the suffering and the ignorance. Okay. So now let's toggle back on the page that we were at, page 13, and look at the order of Bilav. Okay? And it starts at the left, and then you see that it jumps completely to the right, and then it goes backwards. Okay?
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, I get that, but what sense does that make? If you're anything like me, you want this to make common sense in the body, on earth, in my experience. If that doesn't make sense, you know, it goes, just talk to my head because it goes right over me, right?
Right.
Well, so any idea on your part of what's going on here? Why would the order of Bilav be different? You see that. What is the first idea that comes to you?
Well, that it's like a different mechanism. It's like to undo a clock or a watch or something. We're going in a reversing order to unwind something make some disconnection so something else can flow through.
Excellent. So something needs to change. Something needs to be reversed. And instead of going all out, like in the other of above, and really believing that there is an out there, now I'm going to reverse the flow and come back to me.
Right.
Is that, okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
Well, this is Michael. One thing I'd like to offer here on this that is really a potential mistake that I see myself making is, you know, coming out of the black and going all the way to the two, that what I would most traditionally do is go directly into the mental understanding of something instead of having the mental be the last step. The propensity to move into an intellectual description is what puts me back into the other side of that. So I just wanted to comment on that real quick.
Beautiful. I love it, Michael. Thank you. And so here's what you're adding to this discussion. So if we toggle back to page 12 for just one moment, okay, and we look at what knowledge is about, then what we see is if we were following the same progression that we have in ignorance, then we would go from the voice into the split mind, from the switch into the split mind. And knowledge is not from the voice to the mind, but it's when knowledge is followed by and going with spirit. And then when I am in my, when I know that I am spirit, then I am in my heart. When I know that I am in my heart, I am present in my body. When I am present in my body, I feel my feelings. I am in my soul. And when I feel my feelings, my mind is not in resistance. It is not going into a yes but. So What this is presenting is an order of knowledge that is grounded in an ideal of in the best days of our lives. When we first are in our voice and we resonate from the belly up, not in a life that is all in the mind, with belly up, when then we know that we are spirit and we are in our heart, and then from there in our body, and then we feel our feelings, and then the thoughts are no longer negative and no longer about what's in it for me. So thank you, Michael. Now, there is more. It's like, how do you know that? Well, yes, Gummensen says that, but how is that connected to the cosmos? I want to know why this is the language of nature. So is that a question that interests you, V?
Yes.
Emilio, is that a question that interests you?
Absolutely.
And Michael, would you be an amen on that too?
Amen. Game on.
All right. So let's go back to page 13 and again toggle up with page 12. So toggling with page 12, we have 1, connected to Black Eater, 2, connected to Green Wood, 3, connected to Red Fire, 4, connected to Brown Earth, 5, to Blue Water, and 6, to Azure Air Metal. What in the world does that mean? And is there a practical meaning to this? And the answer is yes, a very loud yes. And we just have to go into cosmologies to get this. So, Black Eater 1, why is that? Anybody has an idea why 1 would be connected to Black Heater?
The source of all.
Say that again, please.
I'm hearing that ether is the source of all. From.
It is the source of everything. That's when I am one with everything, exactly. Any other idea? Why is one connected to ether?
Yeah, there's nothing.
Like a quantum field.
So, Michael and then Emilio.
To build on Verena's, maybe not differently, but the scientific understanding of the quantum field, it's the field upon which the whole thing is contained.
Exactly. Right on. Emilio.
Yeah, very similar. It's just reflecting on out of the vastness of nothing, zero, out of the vast of nothing comes the first one, the voice comes out of that.
Exactly. So out of the empty fullness comes, which is zero, which contains it all, zero, one, comes something as one. That's exactly right. So now we have a grounded place to where ether is number one. Any yes but on that? Or may I get an amen?
Amen, sister.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. All right. So, 2 is connected to wood. Where in the world do we get that from? Any idea?
Well, I would offer that 2 wood, which contains the limits and extent to where that one could be, would be contained in the limits. It would limits no limits, but that's where it would be contained, in the wood.
Yeah, you're close. That's right. So let's think in terms of geometry. What are 2 points? What geometry does 2 points trace?
It's a line.
It's a line, exactly. Now, Le Tree, isn't that a vertical line? That's what you were talking about, with 2 limits, the roots and the canopy. Doesn't that form a line?
Yes.
Okay. Now, this is Taoism. And again, wood goes with Taoism. But let's say that you hire a feng shui master to come into your home. Then they find that in your astrology, you require wood to come into balance with yourself. They're going to tell you, if they're good at what they're doing, you need a lot of rectangular shapes, probably elevated, and that would give you balance. 2 is the number of wood. 3, I look at nature. How is fire a triangle?
Going upwards.
Yes. Do you not see a flame as a triangle?
Yeah.
You know, the symbol for careful fire, isn't it a triangle? You know, again, we're into the spirit of nature and looking at symbols in an animated way. Number 3 is the fire. Number 3 is change. In Hebrew, the letter for fire, shin, also means change. In Hebrew, the letter for fire has the value of 300. This is real. And it goes right along with what a feng shui master, a Taoist master, teaches. Let's go to Earth. 4. Can you not see? Can you not see how Earth would be square?
Yeah, it's like a foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like all the angles connected, the 4 directions, the 4 elements, the 4 dimensions. That's Earth. 4. Okay. And so, in terms of 5 and 6, it's becoming a little bit different than what Taoism teaches. So, in Taoism, the square and the number 4 goes with earth, just like the triangle and the number 3 goes with fire. The rectangle and the number 2 goes with wood. Obviously, they don't have heater. So the question for Taoism is like, where do you find 0 and 1? Okay? Because you're starting at 2, 3, 4. And then you would go to 5, which is metal, like the pentacle. And 6 is the curls of water, and that would be Taoism, the round shapes, the place where water can fill any recipient. And there's a deep truth to that, that metal is edgy as a pentacle and that water is wavy as a circle. There's a very deep truth. Expia changed it by saying that when water and metal meet each other, they lose identity. The man, air metal is no longer the man, the water female is no longer the water. They lose their identity. And the reason it did that is because most of us on this planet are separating our emotions from our minds. So men are supposed to be mental metal. Women are supposed to be over-emotional. Women are supposed to feel their feelings. Men are supposed to be the clever one. And we have male and female completely separated from this planet, and inwardly and outwardly. So we did a bold change. And we said, let's the marriage of water and air, of water and metal, be possible. Let us feel our feeling first and then as a mind. Does that make sense for you, V?
Absolutely.
So if you were feeling good about looking for a job, would your mind follow? Or what would help you the most? First, putting your limitation of your mind, all the yes, but, and then feeling, or first coming into your soul and then using your mind to look for a job?
Well, clearly coming into my soul first.
All right.
Yeah.
So that is how we know we have one language. Because it takes in consideration all the cosmology, it takes in consideration where those same cosmology totally have it right. waters to fires to, and maybe where we can use other cosmology, such as Hinduism, an ether that is not part of Taoism, to explain how we are one, how we can access all memories, and then to look at what's going on the planet, which may be connected to the Judeo-Christian religion that has split spirit from matter and apparently men from woman and feeling for thought. And it's not the Judeo-Christian religion that did that, but it's reading. So now we're placing that into a different kind of cosmic order. That makes sense. And those two lines above and below, along with ignorance and knowledge and humorous and elemental, is and are our foundation in an inquiry that we can trust. So, your feedback, your addition, your comments, or yours?
Well, this is Brenda. That is very, very thorough and clean and clear. And it makes sense to me even more so, given a circumstance I raised today.
Awesome.
Thank you, Maha.
Yeah.
Thank you, V.
Yeah.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. How about you, Amelia? What touched you today?
Oh, a lot. There's I'm reflecting on the grounding that's here and the depth of grounding that's here. And it's in that depth of grounding that the practical can come forward. It's sort of like some of it seems that we read something someplace where I think it said it seems to be far-fetched. There was something that earlier in one of the pages that you read, and it does seem to be far-fetched until we come into a grounding of how practical it is and how perfect it is when one thing is extrapolated from when you understand that these things are extrapolated from the elements and help to tie it all together, and how fully if my body is into it, just my mind is into it, and heart, soul, and body is not in it, it's not going to work. But the grounding, the depth of understanding to get to that place of understanding what's extrapolated from each of those elements is ringing a lot clearer to me, which takes away the part that says it's so far-fetched, it's unbelievable, because there's a blocking out there that's been conditioned to that it's incomplete. And without the complete foundation of it, grounding, it makes it difficult to proceed, because then you're proceeding only in a part of something, as opposed to being grounded in the essence of how all of this is extrapolated.
Hmm. Thanks, Emilio. And Maha, anything that connected differently for you today out of your comments and leadership?
Oh, thank you so much. Just the resonance for me is trust. You know, it can be so difficult when trapped again and again in the same insanity to perceive that there is a way out and to trust that there is a way by which I can heal my mind. And yet, the more I play with this information, the more I see that I can trust this inquiry, because it connects to everything that is real. And I know that it's assisting me increasingly to be real.
Amen. So as we conclude, thank you, Maha. I'll read the last paragraph on this page, and then we'll invite you to join us. If you happen to be in Austin this upcoming weekend, we'd love to have you at our workshop. And it coincides with the Expire convention happening in Austin this weekend. Yay! Looking forward to seeing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But this last paragraph says that this path has just returned from a voluntary immersion into the abysmal darkness of Hebrew scriptures. It's known as the Path of Expire. It is received now, glistening radiance and all, to answer any question that may hinder the realization of inner peace. It allows for the problem, language, to become the solution, as it is no longer perceived as a man-made abstraction, but felt instead as having a life and a consciousness of its own. Peace be with you, and thank you for joining, and we look forward to our future encounters with you. Have a great day, everybody.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good day.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.